Welcome to A Flame for Christ, homilies to set your heart on fire with love for Jesus Christ. My name is Father Joseph Gill, priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, and you've joined us on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Back in the early 1900s, a young medical doctor named Dr. William Leslie had a profound conversion to Jesus Christ and began to feel a burning desire to bring the good news of the gospel to people who have never heard of his salvation. So he began a medical mission in the Congo, working among the Yansi tribe to provide medical care along with the good news of the gospel. But after working for years and years, very few Yansi tribespeople seemed interested in the gospel. They preferred their tribal religions, where they worshiped their ancestors and animal spirits. And discouraged, Dr. Leslie left after 17 years, having only baptized a few people and feeling like a complete and utter failure. But fast forward all the way to 2010. So another missionary named Eric Ramsey traveled to the Congo with the same hope to reach souls for Christ. He was kind of expected to find that paltry faith and that resistant heart that Dr. Leslie found, but he was completely unprepared for what he saw. Because when he reached the first tribal village, the villagers heard that he'd come to preach Christ. And excitedly, they came to take him to the brick church that they had built in the center of the village. Moving on to other villages, he was shocked to see that they had built a 1,000-seat stone cathedral in the middle of the jungle. That same faith that Dr. Leslie came to preach had not died out, but actually had grown exponentially, with the majority of the Yansi people now believing in the name of Jesus. You know, it seemed a failure, indeed, and Dr. Leslie thought that he had completely failed. But because it was God's work and not just his, it was a resounding success, even though he never lived to see it. Truly, the words of the gospel were lived out. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will bear a great harvest. I think Pope John Paul II said it so perfectly. Man can only find himself in a sincere gift of himself. The vocation of every Christian is the vocation to self-gift. In matrimony, the call is to make oneself a gift to one's spouse and children. In the priesthood of religious life, our self-gift is to Christ and to the church. In the single life, the self-gift is to sanctify the world through your work, through your example, through your service. And this is really important because no vocation is about self-gratification. Our world tells us, well, find yourself, follow your heart, be true to yourself, blaze your own path. Recently, I was watching a documentary about the first man to ever attempt a triathlon in Antarctica. It was kind of quite the endeavor. He quit his job. He spent months and months training and over $100,000 on gear. He had to hire an entire team and then sail to Antarctica. The triathlon was considerably harder than he thought it was going to be. And I mean, the snow was fluffy and thick. And I don't know if you ever tried to bike through snow, but it was immensely difficult. And you have to bike 140 kilometers through this fluffy snow. And so as a result, it took him much longer than the 36 hours that he had marked out for the triathlon. So once the hours started ticking away one by one and he wasn't making much progress, all of a sudden, a blizzard came up. And the blizzard kept going for hours and then days. The men began to freeze. They began to run out of food. And in fact, the wind was so strong that it actually snapped one of the anchors for the ship that was just off of Antarctica. So the team had to brave the severe danger to take a tiny boat back and to keep the ship afloat during that difficult time. Finally, the storm subsided, and he was able to finish the race after well over 100 hours. It was far longer than anyone had anticipated. And the whole documentary made this seem like it was a grand human achievement, and, you know, in one sense it was. But why? For what purpose? He undertook this challenge simply because he was bored with life, you know, and he just wanted a challenge. But in doing so, he risked the lives of 10 other men and almost died. What, to help him just achieve his dream? Which is really just all about boosting his ego. Yet our world holds this up as an example. Follow your dreams, no matter what the cost. Christ, however, offers us a better way to live. Don't follow your dreams. Follow his plan for your life. And no matter your vocation, his plan has two parts. Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, your vocation is self-gift, dying to self, living for others. And then it will produce a rich harvest. Your vocation, well-lived, will provide fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, two types. First, virtue within yourself. As St. Francis says, sanctify yourself and you will sanctify society. Every vocation is meant to form virtue within you. Virtues such as courage, humility, purity, patience, and most especially charity, which means that we love as God loves, sacrificially. Aristotle defined virtue as excellence in being human, and really every life is lived excellently if one develops virtue within themselves. But the other type of fruit is the souls that are being brought to Christ through you. If your vocation is marriage, then God expects you to lead your spouse and kids to heaven, and anyone else within your sphere of influence. If your vocation is priesthood or religious life, then your parish or your ministry is your mission field. If your vocation is a single life, then one must evangelize your friends, your co-workers, your neighborhood. Both the fruit of virtue and the fruit of souls led to Christ are the natural consequence of living one's vocation with generosity and heroic self-gift. Despite what the culture tells you, your life is not about self-fulfillment, but self-gift. Christ's self-gift on the cross brought billions of souls to salvation. Your self-giving life will also have eternal repercussions. And paradoxically, this self-giving life is exactly where we're going to find joy. After all, man can only find himself in a sincere gift of himself.